Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and glad to have you aboard tonight on the Shepherd's Call. Got a lot of interesting information coming down your way tonight. Glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and tell them the Shepherd's Call is on air. We're in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelations. We're down at the 3rd trumpet sounding of the 7 trumpets when we opened the 4 seals of Revelation chapter 6. Praise Yahweh. And we're going to get into some very interesting information on the download tonight from the spiritual kingdom of Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we have the update of the news. We find that we are still bombing Afghanistan, and we are reportedly making plans for an invasion of ground forces after the so-called softening up of the area. Well, the Russians thought that, and they spent 10 years trying to soften up the Afghanistans who were dug into the mountain passes and the high hills where they had took to after the Russian commandos and regular army came in there. Well, we hope we don't get bogged down in a long, long 10-year escalation of the war where that we are dragging other nations in is quite of a possibility. We see a nuclear problem, a dark cloud gathering over the world. This could happen anywhere. We're now in the midst of a biological chemical fear scares, and these are going on daily. Our population is nervous and worried about the situation, and there is scripture to indicate why that they should be. We are in the book of Zephaniah. We're in chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 13. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. And they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Well, you reckon now that the true objective is after international terrorism. We understand it's quite a plague and a problem here. But what about all the oil and the reasoning for gathering such a large army? We have large reserves there to protect, and we have a population of oil-hungry industries around the world that depends upon this vast oil. Under the Caspian Sea, out on the Russian coast, out in international waters, there is reported that the second largest oil field reported in the world. Enough oil there, ladies and gentlemen, to do the world, the entire world, for 500 years into the future. Well, this is a very lucrative reason for sending our forces. Now, if there's national security, we understand that the United States plans 10 years ahead in their planning. Well, we're sure that they have men smarter than I am, and perhaps maybe a little bit smarter than you, but well, let's see what the scripture says. That great day, verse 14 of Yahweh, is near. Ladies and gentlemen, are they taking into account, is this world where we are in wars and rumors of wars? We're in a time of trouble. Perilous times have come upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Now you can't even open a letter without wondering and pausing and reflecting. Could be the last letter you ever opened from your friendly post office down the street. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly, and that day is a day of wrath. Well, we give you Isaiah 61, verse 2. The day of vengeance, where he quit in the middle of the scriptures, we finished it up for you. You reckon that we are now beginning to come into the day of wrath, when many people will begin to run to and fro and seek rest and find none. It's a day of wrath. It's a day of trouble and distress. It's a day of wasteness. Oh, my friends, if we could see what war, that raging inferno, demonic, we know that there are going to be wars and rumors of war. The Bible tells us so. Man has been a warring species ever since sin entered the planet. Now, the author of sin is Satan. The victor over sin is the blood of the Lamb. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen, as we run back to Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Heard not the earth. This is the angel's command that was given unto him from the throne, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So, ladies and gentlemen, the war is going on tonight. Now, this is not a war of a physical realm. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, what if is that this spiritual wickedness shall embody himself in a body of flesh into the third dimensional realm. He and his angels, and we're going to cover that tomorrow night in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelations, where we are really going to get into the blowing of the trumpet. This is a very alarming. This is the alarm trumpet. Revelation 9, verse 1. This is the alarm. We'll get into that tonight if we have time. If not, we'll cover it in depth tomorrow night as we go forward in the opening of the seven trumpets. Back to Zephaniah, here in chapter 1, verse 15. The day is a day of wrath. Have you ever seen such wrath? Have you ever seen such unrest? Have you ever seen so many people in the earth running to and fro? Have you ever seen so much diabolical evil as the forces of the satanic powers, the dark powers that we wrestle against, ladies and gentlemen? Yahweh Shua said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my disciples take up the sword and fight?" But ladies and gentlemen, this is a battle for the interior position of who dwells in the inner being. This is a war of the spirits as they battle for the control of both soul, mind, and body. Now we know in the final Armageddon cause, the blood will flow to the horse's bridle, the reins of the horse, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, mentioned in the scriptures. And ladies and gentlemen, the sword is going to glisten in the sun, dipped in blood throughout the earth. We are now, for the first time in history, the United States of America and its Western allies, the coalition that has been formed, shall gather forces and come against the sons of Abraham. Now, granted, these are the sons of Hagar, the Ishmaelites. But granted, the Father gave them a covenant promise that their seed, their nation, would become mighty, and that they would break the yoke in the 26th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And the 12th verse, it says, Yahweh, this is Yahweh's prophecy. Listen to the scriptures. We've covered it the last 2 weeks in depth. Listen to it again. It has a true ring upon it as we are now suffering the wrath of terror from the sky. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're not safe in your homes at night. You can lock the door, but you see, bacteria cannot be locked out. The airborne spores that Clayton and I discussed, the Miracle 2 product, man, that says that Miracle 2 is an antidote or a cleansing agent for this very scare that is being used. It's a very cheap product, we understand, as the enemy is making this product, mailing it throughout, and this is to bring terror. and we're all under the dark cloud of fear, superstition, aggravation, stress, torment. That's from Satan, because it's a day of trouble. And remember the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. It shall be a time of trouble. Talking about Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. This is a specific tribe or nations of people upon the earth that will have this trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been in a war for our own survival since the beginning of the turn of the century. We go back to 1917. We go to 1919, First World War. We go into the Second World War in 1939 through 1945, where Aryan blood was shed upon the earth in gallons and barrels upon barrels of this blood shed. It is true that the black troops in World War II, for the first time, joined and fought admirably. And we need to give credit where credit's due. They went and laid their life on the line for the red, white, and the blue. Just like our Aryan brothers, they fought side by side. Later on in Korea, this was in 1951, we had the major threat of the red horse once again rearing its ugly head as we run back to Revelation chapter 6, and we read, and there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him to take away peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And ladies and gentlemen, the last 100 years has displayed the largest amount of loss of life. Now, we could go in and give you the figures, which would be astounding. We start in Russia. During the cleansing agent in 1917, especially when Stalin, that red giant, or the red star of communism above their nation by expelling this czars of Russia who were Aryan in descent, there because they were the sons of Shem and Japheth, praise Yahweh, and here we go now, there was a great slaughter. 90 million of those lost their life between 1917 and 1945. And now, after the war, 1945, when the Red Crest began to fashion itself across the world, we now have Red China. Wonder why they call it red, ladies and gentlemen. There's your key, the Red Star of Russia and the Red Star of China. This is the red horse that came upon the scene in the last days to take away peace from the earth. Their agenda is to make war. Khrushchev said at the United Nations, where we are now an active paying, participating member, and have been since 1949, notice what happens here. Khrushchev sat there and pounded the desk with his shoe. And he challenged America and said, yes, you are a mighty nation. Yes, you have guns, and you have bread, and you have butter. We only have guns. So what we'll do, we will trade our power and take position number two. You see, if you're number two, what is the old saying? You try harder. And he made an astounding statement. We shall conquer you. And we shall plant the red flag of communism over Washington, D.C. without firing a shot. Astounding statement, prophetic, as we now go into the days of the one world order, and underneath it is the trademark of socialism, which is nothing but a disguised communism. And we are warning you today to stand up and take account of your actions, for everyone must give himself an account. He must give an account to Yahweh for his actions. And be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That day is a day of wrath. It's a day of trouble, distress, a Have you ever seen it? Here it is in Zephaniah, in the 15th verse of chapter 1. It is a day of desolation. Ah, do you feel desolate tonight? Do you feel empty? Do you feel a great fear prevailing over the world? Are you caught up in this fear-mongering? Are you caught up in this, they're seeking for reaction? Ladies and gentlemen, when the Messiah stood there in the Roman Babylonian Empire, where the Roman soldiers smote him, and King Herod and his soldiers mocked him, they smote him with a reed upon the head where he had platted thorns and placed on our humble Messiah. And they smote him across the head to drive and to inject the thorn tips right into the brain. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever had a thorn in the foot or in the leg or in the hand or in the arm? Very painful. There's nothing like a thorn to inflict pain. It has some type of a substance by nature upon it that runs it right to the core of a bone. It is absolutely ground, earth-shaking to get a thorn in the flesh. It is also depicted in the spirit. They drove these crowns of thorns, right into this man's head. They took a cat of nine tails, and they whipped him and beat him unmercifully before the judgment seat of Pilate and Herod. The old fox, that old fox that had advantage because he was the granddaddy of Babylon. He had the power. But notice what our humbled Messiah did. He opened not his mouth. You see, you can't get an action from a non-participating reaction. Praise Yahweh. We know that everything forever caused, there is a time and a place. It was not time for the wrath of Yahweh. You know what the Messiah said when he was there being prepared for his crucifixion, when they compelled him to drag his cross up Goliath Hill, and then he stumbled under the weight of it, and then they got the brother to carry the cross or the torture stake. It was nothing but a tree in the shape of a wa or a y, and he carried it, and they placed it in the place of the skull, the Bible said, showing you that they had driven the thorns of pain. This is the infliction of Babylon. What are they going to do to you, ladies and gentlemen? We'll get into that tomorrow night. They shall wear out the saints of the Most High. They shall bring carnage and unprecedented oppression upon the sons of Yahweh and the daughters of the King. It shall be a day of darkness and desolation, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet. There it is, a day of the trumpet. Now we've got war sirens going off. We've got alarm bells going off in the post offices and in the offices, and now our Congress is completely closed down because of one delivered package from one place in the planet. They have delivered the fear and the terror and the wasteness. You talk about breaking America. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand our congressman right here from Tennessee, Representative Duncan, said that just for one phase of this one phase now, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's many spokes in the wheel of the cost of this terrific, terrible war. In the past, who profits from war? Well, we could give you that answer real quick. You probably already know. It is the defense contractors and those that control the defense contractors. It is the international banking system that profits from both sides. I'm sorry to say we're pawns in this great and gloomy day of darkness and thick clouds, a time of trouble and distress. And Zephaniah, we are in chapter 1, verse 15. We're on the trumpet sound. Verse 16. And the day of the trumpet shall sound an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. There it is, brothers and sisters. Did we ever get a shock when these two planes hit the World Trade Center towers. Well, right here it is in the scripture. A day of the trumpet. Alarm bells went off throughout the world. The world's forever changed. Nothing will now remain the same. You're not safe anywhere, at any time, in any place in the world. Why? Because it will be a day of trouble, wrath, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day when the trumpet and the alarm will sound against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just happened to be that the landmark, the noted landmark of New York City, here it is, that there shall be a gloominess, and a trumpet shall sound, an alarm shall go out, and now our president is telling us, prepare for war. And Mr. Duncan, our representative here from the great state of Tennessee, right here from the Knoxville, Tennessee area where we live, our congressman told us that just one phase of gearing up the system for the prevention of anthrax and biological chemical could cost us into the trillions of dollars. And ladies and gentlemen, they were arguing over the budget and taking money out of your Social Security. Where all of a sudden does this money appear out of the clear blue? Please tell me. My spirit begs for an answer. He brings distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men. Oh, we got people trained to run, and there's no place to hide. You can't hide from biological, chemical, or even the far brands of nuclear destruction. We're going to get into that just in a minute as we bring distress. That men shall walk like blind men against them that have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh shall be as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. Oh my, there it is. Praise Yahweh. There's not enough gold gathered together or silver from the mighty ones. Mr. Duncan said we're going to need approximately $3 trillion just to get this going. Well, that don't count the armaments. That don't count the expense. That don't count the armies that are massing now. And these million-dollar missiles, $10 million, $30 million missiles flying over every day. Somebody's paying for that, ladies and gentlemen. Wonder where the money comes from when they have been dipping into Social Security. Do you smell a rat in the mail here? Well, I do, but Yahweh knows all about it. We'll be back after the break. This is Pastor Buddy. You listen to the Shepherd's Call. Stay tuned. We'll really pump it up and put the pedal to the metal. We're coming back strong in the second half. You return with us in a couple. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're in the opening of the seven seals and the blowing of the seven trumpets. We are now in Habakkuk, and we're over in the second chapter. And we're going to read the second word that we are concerned with tonight, the tower. Verse 1, chapter 2, Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me up on the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. We're talking about the watchmen on the wall. Have we quit watching in America? Have we quit praying? Have we quit fasting? Do we think the solution is in the lead in the barrel of a gun? If that is our solution problem, then Yahweh sure would have fought in the kingdom when he was here. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, then would my servants fight. Ladies and gentlemen, if Yahweh don't intervene and cut short this day, there surely be no flesh of Israel saved upon the earth, because the plan of the red horse of Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, along with a pale horse, and along with the black horse, this plan is to make war with the saints. And the Bible said, Satan. He overcame them. And he persecuted them from city to city. Ladies and gentlemen, the persecution of the true church of Yahweh has been going on since Babylon number one, going back to the days of Nimrod and Semiramis, who started the kingdom of Babylon. Now we're in the fourth and the final opening of the final bell of Babylon upon the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is coming down among you. We'll get into that tomorrow night. Oh, this is going to be great and good and very tasty, except it's not going to be a picnic. Nothing on the earth is going to be cheap. You will have to be worn out by this power. And the Bible said, be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. And yet we don't have many folks like that tonight that has the spiritual outreach and vision to see that the kingdom starts within your very being. And there we operate with information. Information, because my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Isn't it sad? Praise Yahweh. Verse 2, and Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, run for the mountains. You better find you a good safe place tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not going to be safe in the cities. A fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah and Magog is coming. Write it upon the tables, and let him that run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. In the last days there shall be wars and rumors of wars and a time of trouble. Here it is. The vision of Habakkuk. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And ladies and gentlemen, any clear message tonight that we are a nation in distress? We are a nation that's perplexed. We are a nation that's stressed out. We are a nation that is expending. We are overextending or overspending our expenditures. We were robbing Social Security, and all of a sudden we have billions and trillions of dollars to pour into the war machine effort. Wonder where all of a sudden, without any consultation, without any balancing the budget, all of a sudden we now have trillions of dollars at disposal. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? The vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, do you not wait for it? Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Praise Yahweh. It will not tarry. Chapter 2, verse 9. But woe unto them that covereth an evil covetousness in his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy home by cutting off many people. Thou hast sinned against thy soul, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, blood money building towns. We're now bombing Afghanistan into total submission. We are now given the awesome task of the United Nations to come in behind them and to build the cities. Is this blood money after we bomb and obliterate the nation of Afghanistan? Looking for one man? Oh yes, because that one man that done this terrible crime, then the people of Afghanistan who harbor him, according to our president, said he must suffer the wrath that shield and hide him. But behold, it is not of Yahweh of hosts that the people shall labor in the very far, and the people shall weary themselves for vanity. For the earth shall be filled with knowledge, and the glory of Yahweh shall cover the sea. Oh my, my, my. Praise Yahweh. The glory of Yahweh will cover the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the terrific, terrible vision in chapter 10, Daniel. Follow me. We're opening the seals for you tonight, and we're blowing the trumpet in Zion. upon the wall. Here we come with Daniel chapter 10. Go with me quickly, if you will. If you're following in your scriptures, this is verse 14. Now I am come to make thee. This is Gabriel giving information to Daniel, who saw our day, ladies and gentlemen. And let me show you what happened when he saw our day. He fainted. Ladies and gentlemen, the carnage, the murder, the blood that flowed in Armageddon, and these terrific wars of nuclear explosion around the world. We're getting ready, friends, for a great shaking on the earth. We'll tell you about it in our final episode tomorrow night. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for that vision that I showed Habakkuk, it shall be for many days in the future. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that time has come that we are now in that future time where then that there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. According to Joel chapter 2, the moon will be turned to blood. What could cause that? Sandstorms that are being erupted from the earth to blast with nuclear blast power to block out the light of the sun and the moon. And we could have a nuclear winter. Are you prepared for the nuclear holocaust that could possibly come as a result? We are banking that our enemies tonight, the Arabs, don't have this capacity because they seem like a crude people that don't have this. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me in chapter 6 of Zechariah. I'll wrap this up for you tonight in Zechariah chapter 6. As we go forth, and we're going to read verse 1, and I turned and lifted up mine eyes, and behold, I looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from the two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. You know what brass represents? War! What do we make our shells and our artillery pieces, our guns that we carry? These are mountains of brass. That means war, ladies and gentlemen, coming with these chariots. Now, there are four of them, remember. Now, we put the horses in chapter 6, Revelation. Let's hook them to a chariot now as we go back to Zechariah. Here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. You'll hear the gospel in the last days from those that are called and anointed to preach it with revelation coming forth in the last days. In the first chariot, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, in the first chariot off the mountain were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses, and in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, these grizzled or bay horses. Here we have the four horses now hooked to the chariots that we've been talking about in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations. Tomorrow night we will end this series of the blowing of the trumpets in Zion. Sound the alarm, for the vision shall be in the last days, and let him that readeth the vision, let him run for it. As we conclude our message tonight in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. We're going to jump to the 24th of the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And another parable, he put forth, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to expound unto you that there is an evil diabolical plot behind this new world order that is trying to be established and set up, where they have universal power and universal dominance over all of the earth. There shall be no free nations. We shall all serve in the kingdom of Babylon. Whosoever will not receive this mark was in the forehead, ladies and gentlemen. This beast power, this very, very, very strong power. The Bible said it had teeth as like a bear, and it was like a leopard in its swiftness as it struck the earth in the last days to cause all men everywhere to receive this mark. Ladies and gentlemen, the noose is tightening around our neck tonight. Most of the world is done deceived, but listen what the scripture said. Mark those servants who have the seal of my name in their forehead. There's the key, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to escape the tares and those that are among the wheat, get in the name of Yahweh. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Do violence to no man. The Bible says, but when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence then cometh these tares? And he said unto them, Here is the diabolical plot that we are trying to uncover tonight in the revelation of gospel. Verse 28, An enemy hath done this. Do you think tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that the governments of the world that are binding together under the pretense of universal safety to weed out the terrorists, we have enemies, we understand that, but is it because of our policies that we have inflicted pain and misery upon the Arab people for over 50 years in our policy? Will our politicians pause and pray and fast about the decision that they've made? Will they reconsider their ways? We don't think so. Why? Because the diabolical plot of the enemy will come in the last day and he will control all the kings of the earth. Who's that? The ones that cause decision policies to be made and established in there. Sounds good now to be protected from all the evil, doesn't it? But by being protected, you give up your liberty, and those that surrender their liberty is not worth the protection that they get. Praise Yahweh, they're fit for nothing to be trodden under the feet of those that rule over them. That is what our founding fathers said so wisely years ago. The enemy hath done this. The enemy hath done this, the servant said unto him. What we'll do, what will we do now? Go him up. Listen to what he said now. But he said, No. Least while you gather up the tares. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not time to gather up the tares. This is time to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But don't gather tares now, lest you root up the wheat with them. Now here we go, verse 30. But let both grow together until the harvest. There is a harvest day coming when the angels of Yahweh, and I'll give you the scriptures for it tomorrow night as we conclude this message, praise Yahweh. Let both them grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather them into first the tares and bind them in bundles. The first one leaving this planet, ladies and gentlemen, will be the tares. Well, the Christian church is saying they're going to be raptured out. Well, don't take the first ship out, ladies and gentlemen. You might get on the wrong boat. Leaving for glory, because Satan and his angels are coming in with all deceiving power. And Satan himself will be worshipped like God as he sits in the temple of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. As he begins to deceive the very elect, and many in that day will cross over and join him because they will think that he comes in to bring peace out of chaos. Isn't that what we are surrendering our rights and freedom to do? We are surrendering rights and freedom to do away with chaotic times that we could be saved. But listen to this. The tares shall be gathered first into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my what? Unto my barn. Now, what did he say? In the last days, I will send forth my angels. Remember, I told you that the angels of Yahweh were mighty in power. They're mightier than man. You don't believe in angelic intervention in the last days? Well, Satan's coming. And him and his angels, they're angels, ladies and gentlemen. They just happen to be the fallen ones. And they have the support of most of the earth when they come. The whole earth will wonder after them and follow them because he's coming in to bring peace. And he will give you peace through this Babylonian system that they're formulating right now. And when it's set up, then Satan shall appear as God upon the earth. There won't be no rapture. There'll be a capture of the tares when Yahweh cometh with 10,000 times 10,000 of the mighty ones, the angels of heaven. Then shall they gather together the tares, the angels. You say, oh, I didn't know they could do that, Pastor Buddy. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I could give you an example. One of these days, I'll teach on the power of an angel and show you how they demonstrated their power. When Israel was helpless, when they didn't have any guns and tanks and swords, when they totally depended upon Yahweh as they stood shaken and angry and mad at Moses for bringing them to the Red Sea, and they stood there trapped, and the mighty army of Pharaoh came down the trail to slay them. And here are the fainting hearts. All that you would have left us in Egypt, you have let us down here to be captured and to be evil entreated and to be killed. We should have stayed there and made brick for the rest of our life under captivity. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here came the angels of Yahweh. Not one Israelite went back and loosened the lug nuts of the chariots. Not one of them were loosened by mortal man. They all, spiritually speaking, ladies and gentlemen, they took the wheels off their chariots. They began to delay them in the middle of the Red Sea. And then Yahweh, when Israel had escaped across on dry land, you see miracle after miracle, example after example. I've told you several times that one angel came down and slayed one night of the enemy 185,000 men. One angel. Well, what if 200 million angels comes down and then you look at the slaughter? They wouldn't be a living person up on the earth after 2 hours or maybe 15 minutes. There was 15 minutes of silence in heaven, if you understand. And listen, as we go in to and shut our message down tonight, as we have enjoyed being with you here on the Shepherd's Call, that the Scriptures will tell you that the King Eternal is coming in power and great glory. Remember what he said in the book of Thessalonians, that he would send them a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Here we are in verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Yes, they can come in the heavens. They ride chariots, according to the book of Psalms. What are chariots? These are vehicles to move about those angels. You said, I didn't know they had to ride a chariot. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you would get this little figment of spirit-floating mist out of your mind as a harp on a cloud somewhere and really get real, your Savior that died for you, Jacob Israel, he got up this morning with wounds in his body. He looks in the mirror every morning and sees his wounds, where he was wounded in the house of his friend. Yes, he's still living. How can that be? How could he come down here and resurrect from the grave and eat and drink fish and wine and honeycomb with them and tell them he's coming back to drink it new with them in the kingdom, when the kingdom of heaven finally is, the trumpet is blown, and we're blowing the trumpets of Zion tonight. We're sounding an alarm, and that moves us into the final scripture. Listen to it as we close out. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 triple, make the woe sure, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. That'll bring us into chapter 9 of Revelation. We'll pick it up there tomorrow night and conclude this series on the opening or the blowing of the seven seals, as we covered last week. The opening of the horses, and then we covered tonight the chariots of the horses as they were hooked up to the chariots, and they came through the heavens. These are spirits. These are manifestations of times. The wind's blowing across the pages of time. We're in a time of trouble. Needless to say, men's hearts are failing them for fear. Looking after those things that are coming. Great darkness is coming up. This is spiritual darkness. The whole world is wondering about and running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. We can give you the key to the whole thing tonight by saying, repent, every one of you, Jacob Israel, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. Put the seal of the living mighty one in your forehead, and then you will not take the mark of the beast. Why? Because Yahweh said you wouldn't. That's why. Because everyone that was sealed in their forehead. How do you get the seal? Right from my tape. This is Pastor Buddy. My mailing address is simply Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. And the zip is 37824. If you would like to call me directly, you can call area code 423-626-2172. I'd like to talk to you tonight about my sponsor, the mighty power of Miracle 2. Last night, joining us in live and direct from the great state of Louisiana, Clayton Teddington. He is the originator, the inventor, if you will, of the spiritual formula that came out of a handwriting on the wall. This is a marvelous thing. And it is known to neutralize anthrax. One little drink of this neutralizer can neutralize in your body the anthrax bacterial spores, and by neutralizing it in less than 1 minute, it's better than Cipriol, which is made by Bayer. I would take it over that, praise Yahweh. Sometimes I don't trust what they put out in the medical field. I don't know about you. I'm a natural buff myself. Well, this is all natural. Seven ingredients. Clayton told me last night that the formula that was written was seven components of organic and natural process. Praise Yahweh. This is the only formula that can be split by making the soap an external application, which you heard the mystery of the miracles that Clayton spoke of last night when he gave you the evidence that it would heal skin cancers and remove them from your body. We have people now with skin cancers now in the test process so we can keep you abreast. Many miracles in science. Well, if you'd like to call it, call area code. We'll give you the number for you to call, 888-281-7320. That's Dr. Jack, 888-281-7320. Somebody there to take your call. If not, call in the business hours between 9 and 8, and you can get the rest of the story about Miracle 2. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, saying, Yahweh bless Jacob Israel wherever that they congregate upon the earth tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the conclusion of our exciting series, The Opening of the Seals. Praise Yahweh, and you have a great evening. Yahweh bless you and keep you until the King comes.
Each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.